Maisa, and a little point to the Lumdus that we discussed yesterday. Again, those of you who have your own courage to have Rabbi Lilligs new Sefer on Bishul, it should be very helpful to you, which in terms of, like you said, we'll basically follow that trajectory, and we will refer to that Sefer often. And also his Marmar Kumbus are in the back also, so that could save you time in terms of hunting for things. So it's helpful to have. But essentially, so yesterday we were talking a little bit about the whole status of liquids, and we laid out a little bit about the idea of Bishul Acher Bishul, whether it's true or not, whether it's distinct to Bishul, whether it exists by other Malachos, etc., etc. So Halacha L'maisa, in terms of the question of liquids, so there is, as you saw, the Beis Yosef quotes Machlokus HaRishonim as to whether or not there is a concept of Ein Bishul Acher Bishul when it comes to liquids. Now we assume, LaHalacha, as brought in the Shulchan Aruch, that there is a prohibition of Bishul on liquids that have been cooked before and that have cooled down. But the topic was a Machlokus HaRishonim, and Beis Yosef quotes the Rishonim who didn't make any distinction, which would be a kula, in other words, that the kula of Ein Bishul Acher Bishul that applies to solids. So a number of the Rishonim assume that there's no chiluk, that it applies to solids and to liquids equally. It's really a fascinating thing how this is such a major detail with Hilchos Shabbos, and for really all of it, we gotta kind of have to go post-Talmudically in terms of the whole concept of Ein Bishul Acher Bishul. We spoke about yesterday, figuring out where exactly that is laid down as a concept, and then figuring out whether there is a chiluk between solids and liquids. These are such major details, but we have to rely heavily on the post-Talmudic sources in order to figure it out. It is a little bit unusual. It's somewhat surprising. But in any event, so is there a distinction? Again, this is a crucial issue. So a number of these Rishonim, the Rambam, the Rashba, and the Ran, all don't make a distinction, which sounds like they're all makel, right? Which sounds like they all maintain that if you have liquid that was cooked before, even if it's cold now, you can cook it again. That is heter gomer. That's what it sounds like. However, as Rabbi Willig maintains, which is a chiddush, which is his unique position, that actually the Rambam should be read differently. Because yes, the Rambam's not going to distinguish between liquids and solids, but that comes out to be a chumrah. Because it comes out that he actually maintains that when you have Ein Bishul Acher Bishul, that's only true on a level of d'oraisa, and midrabanan, it's still prohibited. That's a unique position of the Rambam. Everyone else assumes Ein Bishul Acher Bishul means it's mutter. But the language of the Rambam is pater, which pater normally means it's prohibited midrabanan. And we discussed yesterday some alternative approaches that maybe there's a different issue d'rabanan involved, and maybe he's talking about something else. But the simple language of the Rambam in such usage would probably mean that it's asur midrabanan, even though it's mutter min haTorah. And Rabbi Willig maintains that that's the reading, even though, as he maintains, that that's not what you find anywhere else. That that's a chiddush in the Rambam, and it's a chiddush lahalacha in his view that there is an issur d'rabbanan.
Does he have any achronim that agree with him? He's disagreeing with the Eglital.
Essentially, right, he's disagreeing with everybody, since that this is a complete chiddush. It's certainly against the Vilna Gaon, for example. And we saw that the Vilna Gaon said that it has to be mutter, because it's mutter to put things back on the fire. And in the commentary to the Shulchan Aruch, he says, if it's only just, so then that would seem to show you that there's a heter of Ein Bishul Acher Bishul. But as Rav also points out, that against the Vilna Gaon's proof, that you could say that that's only talking about things that have not yet cooled down. But if it's already cooled down, maybe there is such an issue.
Any other suggestions for the Rambam Plushin then, in the post-game?
Of pater, yeah. So what the Eglital and what others say is that he's talking about something else, right? He's talking about the issue of chazar, and that's got technical difficulties. I can't prove this, but I think in general there is a certain adifus in terms of Rilig's interpretation that it's likely that when you say something is pater, i.e., pater aval aser, that you mean that there's a technical exemption, but that it's still prohibited midrabanan. It's the same prohibition. So to say pater, but when you really mean there's a different issur d'rabbanan that's asering it, I think it's a little bit of a strained interpretation. But I have this other difficulty with Rambam. So this is something which I'll leave you to think about, is that If you maintain that the Rambam is saying both liquids and solids, there's an issur to reheat them. So presumably they have to be the same issur, because he doesn't distinguish. That's the whole point. Right? Since he doesn't distinguish, that's why the Beis Yosef quotes him as apparently being makel, but it comes out according to this machmir on both. But either way, he doesn't distinguish. So then the question is, shouldn't it come out that according to the Rambam, cooking liquids is re-cooking liquids is only an issur d'rabbanan, still somewhat of a kula compared to the other rishon?
Unless you say water is separate.
Correct, but if you say water is separate, then the Rambam should distinguish. That's where that's exactly the difficulty I'm about to have, right? That logic dictates that water is separate, and that's why lahalacha we distinguish between water and solids. Right, that we're lahalacha machmir on water against solids. So the Rambam should have that distinction too.
I mean, the Rambam has a distinction elsewhere when he lists what's cooking, what is considered.
Exactly, that's the point. So the question is, and I was discussing this a little this morning, also relevant to this, that if you maintain that there is such a distinction, okay, so you know the Rambam doesn't have to agree. Right, but we saw yesterday, we discussed why the Ran doesn't agree. And by the way, again, this stuff is highly complicated, so if I'm leaving out anything or if I'm going too fast, please don't hesitate to ask. You know, this is very complicated material. But if you maintain that there's a distinction between the solids and liquids as we maintain la halacha, so the Rambam doesn't have to agree, but what troubles me a little bit is that a lot of the support for that distinction is based on the Rambam. I'll mention two such points. One is what we mentioned the other day, that the Rambam is the one who gives this whole third category of cooking. Right? That he says there's three categories, bishul, lafia, and water. And we discussed, why does he have this third category? What's the significance of additional category? And we mentioned one possibility is that water doesn't really change. It just changes temperature. And therefore, the definition of cooking is wholly different according to the Rambam for water than for other things. And that could have the impact of saying, yesh bishul achar bishul, with liquids. So following all that through leads to one to make a distinction. Now, the truth is, it would be a kasha of the Rambam anyway you look at it. If you want to use that explanation, then it really does push you to say there's a distinction, and the Rambam doesn't seem to make a distinction. So it's a little bit of a question whether or not there's a more satisfying explanation of the Rambam why he has this third category, because the distinction that lahalacha we maintain, which is helpful for that distinction, doesn't seem to carry through in the Rambam either way. Either to say that it's mutter in both cases, or that it's asur in both cases, but then it should be the same isur in both cases, should be asur midrabanan in both cases. That's one issue. Another issue comes from the Eglei Tal, that the Eglei Tal explains the difference that we have by water, by liquids, that when it cools down, then you do have a prohibition to reheat it. So he compares this to metal, which, again, he bases on the Rambam's Lashon. That when it comes to metal, the cooking would be essentially melting it. And if the metal rehardens, in other words, its bishul gets undone, so it comes out from the Rambam that there is an issur to cook it again. So essentially, the proof for this distinction between liquids and solids is again based on the language of the Rambam. So it's interesting that the Rambam doesn't seem to manifest this chiluk in terms of how he relates to liquids versus solids. So that's a little bit of a lumdisha question to figure out why he doesn't. So you could say different reasons. Okay, he acknowledges that reason, but it doesn't make a difference. But it's interesting one way or another. So it's just a point to try to work out a little bit. So practically speaking, so we say that you can't re-cook water. So what does that mean? That means that if water was cooked and then decooked, and then
cool down.
It's another way to put it. Interesting linguistic innovation there. So then cool down. So then you are not allowed to reheat it. Right. So what becomes the definitive term in terms of water? What becomes basically our Michael Ben Josai? Yad Seledes Bo. Right? Yad Seledes Bo, it emerges that Yad Seledes Bo has nafkaminas lo halacha, lo chumra and lo kula. Right? Because if it is cooled down below Yad Seledes Bo, so that's where there is an iser to reheat it. Or if it is Yad Seledes Bo, there'd be a heter to cook it more. So there's nafkaminas, l'kula and l'chumra in terms of what Yad Seledes Bo is. And also in terms of defining the iser in the first place. If we say that there's an iser to cook something Yad Seledes Bo, so we have to know what Yad Seledes Bo is.
Can you say the
kula
part of that?
The kula part is that once it is Yad Seledes Bo, if it's maintained Yad Seledes Bo, then you can continue heating it. Right, this iser that we just said, that there's an iser of bishul achar bishul by water, means that if it's cooled down, you're not allowed to heat it anymore. So what does cooled down mean? So once you figure out if you were to say that Yad Seledes Bo was a very low number, that would be a kula, because you say anything above that, it hasn't cooled down. So it has nafkaminas, the kula and the chumra. Hi.
I think they especially pointed out that we say with at least solids, it has to be mevushal kol tzarfo. Anything more than a mevushal bedrosa to that would still be problematic. So
right, that's the position of the Rambam.
Right. Is that clear that it has to apply to liquids too?
That's how the Shulchan Aruch is paskening, that if it cools down below this point of Yad Seledes Bo, which Mishnah Berurah fills in that's what the Shulchan Aruch means, then that's the cutoff point. Essentially.
But even if you're still cooking past Yad Seledes Bo,
So presumably it's not helpful at that point. Right, which is relevant, as we'll discuss in a second. Right? What exactly? Yeah, we'll explain in a second how that's relevant. So what is Yad Seledes Bo? Hi.
I'm just curious. When we talk about solids, it's always when you talk about Yad Seledes Bo or cooking, it's also improving the food, right? That's just not relevant by water.
It is relevant, but it becomes irrelevant past a certain point.
Why is it relevant at all, though? If it's supposed to be liquid, whether or not it's warm or suitable for what it is that I want, mm-hmm. it doesn't change the properties. It's not more or less edible.
Except it might be. We mentioned yesterday, for example, the position of Mogen Avram, that maybe the whole concept's only relevant if you're using it for bathing purposes, for washing purposes, where you daf can need hot water, which would be a big cooler that it only comes up in that context. He also mentioned another possibility that he thought that maybe it is significantly more drinkable if it's hot when it's cold. So there could be a difference, except that I think you're right that there is an upper limit to how helpful that is. Just like you find by food also, there's an upper limit to how helpful it is. But with food, it's a little more nuanced. Right? So you go into the steakhouse, and they'll give you four or five different choices for how you want your steak prepared. So there's an edible level, and then there's preferences, which could go to four or five different stages beyond. When it comes to water, you don't really have so many gradations, because either you want cold water or hot water. If you want hot water, so then hot is something. But beyond that, you certainly can't necessarily tolerate beyond a certain point. Right? Especially because of the difference that we're talking about between water and liquid, water and solids. That solid, it's not only about the heat, it's about the physical transformation of the item, so there's a big difference between well done and medium and rare. But when it comes to water, if we're saying that it's all about the heat, so we're talking about the heat that it's at right now, the heat that it's maintaining. So if that's beyond a certain number, as we'll discuss more in a second, the human being can't even consume it or bathe in it, so then it's really going to have diminishing returns or negating returns. So then cooking past that, it's really not going to help. So it's easier when it comes to liquids to say that there's one cutoff point, that getting it to this point is called cooking, and getting it past that is not really helpful because there's very little human benefit that comes from having water that is hotter than that. While when it comes to solids, there's more room for such nuance because there's edible and there's preferences that could have many different levels beyond that. So cooking could benefit beyond edible a number of different levels until it gets to the point where it's not helping anymore and where further cooking is going to make it less desirable to anyone. So in other words, to sum up what I just said, that when it comes to solids, you have more room to say, is it just about making it edible or is it about any improvement? When it comes to water, there's less room to distinguish. Basically, if you want hot water, that's a certain definition, but beyond that isn't really so helpful. So that all does go to the question of what is Yad Seledes Bo? What is the number? So the Gemara asked that question. And essentially, the difficulty is as follows. So, Yad Seletisbo literally means, how do you translate Seletisbo? It means the hand.
Skull.
So that's actually nichves bo. That's the problem. That's.
I mean, that's the. Definition that's the baby they definition. The baby.
Right. Exactly. So the baby is scalded. Right. So that's not an experiment you can do. No one should. No one should misunderstand that point. That is not. Sorry. Right. That is. So that's exactly. That exactly seems to be the issue. This is one of the fundamental questions here: is how do you ascertain this number when you can't really do the experiment? That's it's like psychratia, right? You can't do an experiment to figure out whether psychratia has the effect that it's supposed to have. So how do you do Yad Seletisbo? So Yad Seletisbo, essentially, the Gemara asks that question. But again, for translation, so Seletisbo doesn't mean burnt; it means that your hand draws back. In other words, theoretically, if you're prepared for it, you can tolerate it. You're not going to get burned. So the question then becomes, so how do you figure out what Yad Seletisbo is? And Rashi explains the question here on Mem and Beis. Here I may be getting a little bit ahead of the Mar Makomos, but I can give you tomorrow to look it up afterwards. That Rashi explains the Gemara's question that essentially, I think Yosef asked this during Seder, or somebody asked this during Seder, that are we saying that it's a subjective standard? That there are people who have higher tolerance for heat than others. So how do we decide what is the number that somebody draws back from? Different people can take different temperatures. There are people who like going swimming in the winter, you know, in the ocean. There are people who have different tolerances. So how exactly do you figure it out? So then the Gemara gives the standard of kreso shaltino k'nichves, that a baby's stomach is scalded, which is more objective on the one hand, but on the other hand, is not a test you can carry out. So how do you figure out what it is? So here, there is some differentiation. The differentiation is not that much. I mean, maybe for more of a Buckian temperatures, we'll perceive this as a little bit more significant, that the numbers you find Fahrenheit, at least L'chumra, range between 110 and 120. Shmira Shabbos Kilchus talks about 113, Rav Moshe had it about 110. Rav Aaron Kotler had it around 120. Yes, it's a 10-degree range in terms of at least the Chumrah, meaning that you have to worry that if it'll get that high, it's an Isser, so at least the Chumrah definition is seems to be somewhere around that number. And as Rav Ehrlich points out, that the New York City building codes require landlords to have a temperature in the house of 115 degrees or so, working under the assumption that higher than that is dangerous.
What do you mean the temperature?
They provide hot water temperature in the house, in the apartment.
Meaning if you were to run the hot water in your sink?
Right. Okay. And have that useful in the house. The svara being that more than that is just dangerous, but less than that is not useful for bathing and for washing dishes and things like that.
So what temperature do they have it?
I think 115, somewhere around that range.
So if you held 120, then would you be able to run your... You still wouldn't be able to run your sink on hot water necessarily.
Right, running your sink on hot water is a different issue. That the problem is not so much that you're cooking within your sink. The issue is that when you open up the water and the hot water comes out, so it takes hot water out of the boiler. And then the hot water that comes out of the boiler gets replaced from the pipes with cold water, and then the cold water gets cooked in the boiler. So that becomes a problem that you're cooking the water in the boiler, and that's where there's some discussion, is there a difference in apartment buildings, that maybe it's not necessarily you who's going to immediately cause new water to come in. And that's the discussion there. I would recommend you take a look in Rabbi Willick's book about this, where he notes machlokis between himself and 39 Malachos and others who question the mitzias of what exactly happens there. And how that works exactly.
If you shave boil off before Shabbos, should it be okay to use hot water in your house?
Is that possible to do?
I don't know. I think there are concerns, like, they have new technology that some people have put into their house, but I'm not sure.
Right, so theoretically, just to frame the question a little differently, if you have a way to get the hot water out of the sink without having any kind of other effect, then that should be okay, as long as when you turn on the water, you don't have something underneath it that you're cooking. That would be a different issue.
In Israel, I know that...
Just in terms of that issue, so essentially, the problem is what it causes afterwards. So I don't know if there's a way to do that you stop there from being any effect afterwards. the Svara Lahatir, which has a little bit to object to, but the Svara Lahatir is not so much that that won't happen, but that'll happen either later on, or that'll happen not definitely, because maybe, let's say, if you're in an apartment building with non-Jewish people too, maybe they'll turn it on in between, and they'll be the one who'll end up cooking the water. So that's where there is a svara to argue that even if the water will eventually be replaced and be reheated, it won't be you doing it, or it won't happen immediately. But that is also some room to argue whether or not the Metzius is correct, and that's where you have the issue. Hi.
What's the relationship between Yatzilah Espo and like the Yerushalmi's language and the Yatzilah Espo?
The truth is, they seem to be the same thing, right? The shalet espo means you have control of your hands, you're willing to...
So it's like the opposite, meaning not that your hand will jerk back, but that it's a temperature where...
Or it's a different frame of reference, but I think it comes out to be the same thing, halach l'maisa, I think. But just in terms of whether there's a different number of l'chumra, so just to quickly mention this point, so there were those who were concerned, such as the Or LeZion, who was a Rebbe Ben Tzion Shol, that maybe l'chumra you have to be choshesh to a higher number, of something closer to 180 degrees. And that's based on the Rashba, that the Rashba says, and the Kaf HaChaim says something similar, the Rashba, we'll put on tomorrow's list, it's on Daf Mem Beis, that something that's Yatzilah Letesbo cannot be used for, something that's higher than Yatzilah Letesbo cannot be used for drinking or for bathing, right? Which is consistent with what we said about the New York City Code, that if it's too hot beyond that, then people aren't going to want to shower in it. It's not going to be useful for that purpose. Now, the problem is people drink tea at 115 degrees. Something like that. So you're saying that if, according to the Rashba, according to the Kaf HaChaim, if you can drink it, so that's not your Yatzilah Letesbo. So maybe we should assume the temperature has to be higher. Temperature has to be 180 or something like that. Reb Moshe has a few tshuvos along these lines as well. So the response to that could be that maybe what the Rashba means is that you'd be able to drink it uninterruptedly if it's you would not be able to drink it uninterruptedly if it was Yatzilah Letesbo. But the way we drink tea, this is discussed in the Sefer Pisgei Tshuvos, the other Sefer Pisgei Tshuvos. It's a very fascinating Sefer. The Sefer is written by Binyamin Rabinowitz, is his name. It has many volumes on Aruch Chaim and the Mishneh Berurah volumes, where he collects at the bottom a lot of different contemporary poskim who have talked about the issues in the Mishneh Berurah and the like. So there he maintains that what the Rashba means is that if it was Yatzilah Letesbo, you wouldn't be able to drink it straight without stopping. But the way people drink tea or coffee, that they sip it slowly, and they blow on it, and they do other things to make it manageable, so then that would not necessarily fall into this category. So it's possible that the tea and the coffee that we drink is indeed Yatzilah Letesbo, and the fact that you could drink it doesn't contradict this. It means that you drink it slowly and you drink it in a more guarded fashion, and that's the distinction. So then if that's true, so then you come back to having a definition around the 120 range, somewhere between the 110 to 120 range, and that's a very possible position to maintain, that that's the standard definition of what Yatzilah Letesbo is, even the Kula and the Chum. It's also noteworthy that it's very possible, as was suggested yesterday, that the Prima Gaudim and the Eglei Tal both make note that there is likely a difference between solids, I mean, between liquids within the category of liquids, that water might be one thing and soup might be something else. That since cold soup is still different than it was before it was cooked, it's still soup that's cold as opposed to water and vegetables or whatever else is going into the soup. So maybe we would say that ain bishul acha bishul when it comes to soup, at least theoretically, although again, halacha maisa, you have to figure out exactly how that plays a difference. Okay, so tomorrow we'll pick up from talking about how exactly we define cooking conceptually.